Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 2, entitled The Symptoms of Kali Yuga. Text 5.
Anajataiva sadhutve.
Sadhutve
dambahivatu. Shrikare vachudvahe. Snanam eva prasadnam. Anadata
poverty.
Eva
simply.
Asadutve
in one's being unholy.
Sadutve
in virtue or success.
Dhamma,
hypocrisy.
Eva,
alone.
To
end.
Svikaraha,
verbal acceptance.
Eva,
alone.
Cha,
end.
Utvahe,
in marriage.
Snanam,
bathing with water.
Eva,
alone.
Prasadanam,
chanting and decorating of the body. Translation: a person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement, and a person will think he's fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. Purport. The word dhamma indicates a self-righteous hypocrite, someone not so much concerned with being saintly as with appearing saintly. In the age of Kali, there is a rather large number of self-righteous, hypocritical religious fanatics claiming to have the only way, the only truth, and the only light. In many Muslim countries, this mentality has resulted in brutal repression of religious freedom and thus destroyed the opportunity for enlightened spiritual dialectic. Fortunately, in much of the Western world, however, there is a system of free religious expression. Even in the West, however, self-righteous hypocrites consider sincere and saintly followers of other disciplines to be heathens and devils. Western religious fanatics are usually addicted to many bad habits, such as smoking, drinking, sex, gambling, and animal slaughter. Although the followers of the Krishna Consciousness Movement strictly avoid illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and animal killing, although they dedicate their lives to the constant glorification of God, self-righteous hypocrites claim that such strict austerity and devotion to God are tricks of the devil. Thus the sinful are promoted as religious and the saintly are decried as demonic. This pathetic incapacity to grasp the most rudimental criteria of spirituality is a prominent symptom of Kali. In this age, the institution of marriage will degenerate. Indeed, already a marriage certificate is sometimes cynically rejected as a mere piece of paper, forgetting the spiritual purpose of marriage and misunderstanding sex to be the goal of family life. Lusty men and women directly engage in sexual affairs without the troublesome formalities and responsibilities of a legal relationship. Such foolish people argue that sex is natural. But if sex is natural, pregnancy and childbirth are equally natural. And for the child, it is certainly natural to be raised by a loving father and mother, and in fact to have the same father and mother throughout his life. psychological studies confirm that a child needs to be cared for by both his father and his mother, and thus it is obviously natural for sex to be accompanied by a permanent marriage arrangement. Hypocritical people just justify unrestricted sex by saying it's natural, but they avoid the natural consequence of sex, pregnancy. They use contraceptives which certainly do not grow on trees. Indeed, contraceptives are not at all natural. Thus hypocrisy and philosophy and foolishness abound in the age of Kali. The verse concludes by saying that people will neglect to ornament their bodies properly in the present age. A human being should decorate his body with various religious ornaments. Vaishnavas mark their body with tilak, blessed with the holy name of God. But in the age of Kali, religious and even material formalities are thoughtlessly discarded. Om Jnanati Manandasya Jnanandana Salakya Shakshurunmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhista Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Sikarav Sita Padakamanam Sikrun Vaisnavam Sita Sirupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sinno Dinavandu Jagatpati Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavane Swari Vishabhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Kriye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyacha Sakrupyasindubhi Vicha Atitanam Pavane Diyo Vaisnavi Vyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse begins to analyze a time when the values are no longer genuine. For example, a person will be considered unholy if he doesn't have money, or not respectable. Well, we're facing that. If you have no money, you're nobody. Nobody cares about you. That's how it is in this world, in general. Of course, we find that there are still many people who are not satisfied in such a world. Although here, verse after verse, we're going to study the qualities of Kali Yuga, which we can easily see when we look outside every day. We should not fall in the trap as to start discussing Kali Yuga as mundane people discuss the weather. It's really bad weather today, and the weather, and devotees can get into this mood. Kali Yuga is so bad. Oh, Kali Yuga, how bad is Kali Yuga? And the how bad is Kali Yuga discussions can sometimes really take us away from seeing the good. There is like one time I went to Karoli, which is in Rajasthan. It is the place where the original modern Mahan deities are. And I went for darshan, and it was very nice, and pujaris were very nice, and gave me mahaprasada. And afterwards I was talking with the pujari, and I said, "You are so fortunate to stay in this place, because the influence of Kali Yuga is hardly present here. It is like said, in other places it's rampant, but here it's just so nice. Ah, they said Kali Yuga, you know. There are 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. So when we are looking from the transcendental perspective, then we don't become so overwhelmed by Kali Yuga. We see there is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We see that there are many people who are actually interested in spiritual life, and there's still a lot of opportunity. It's like people sometimes say, how is it to travel in roads around the world? Well, all I can say is that there are more interested people than I can deal with. So that I want to start on a positive note, and that we look at it's not so bad. If we are open, we find that there are still many people who are, although they may have contamination of all the qualities mentioned in this chapter, they can be easily reversed. When I was about 15, I had long hair, because everybody had in those days, and I was sitting on a bus, and a Hare Krishna came on the bus, and there was only one seat empty next to me, and this devotee sat next to me. I was in total fear and almost crawled into the wall, and he was also in total fear and looked at me like a hippie. Yeah, because of the hair, I guess. A totally fallen, degraded person who is contaminated. You can't speak to him. There is no hope that this one could ever be transformed. So he didn't even give me like an invitation to the Sunday feast. If he would have given, I might have gone. But it took years. It took years before it finally happened. So, like that, if we believe that everyone is so much covered over by the age of Kali that we cannot approach them, then we don't understand that within this lifestyle based on the age of Kali, who is happy? Who is happy? Like in this verse, there's a discussion about marriage, which will be arranged by verbal agreement. Well, that's kind of quite common, just live together, right? Nothing unusual about that these days. In fact, you know, first go live together for a while, and then if it works, then get married, right? Test it, right? See how it goes. So many divorces, such kind of arguments are quite common. But the lack of commitment is not so nice. The lack of commitment is not nice at all. Free relationships are nice when you want to be free, but when the partner wants to be free, it's not so nice. So the philosophy of even the most liberal persons change. It depends who they're dealing with. Very liberal about themselves, but being free and doing what they want, but not so liberal when their partner wants to be free. So marriage with mutual commitments creates a material basis. The difficulty of getting married is that one commits to be limited. I'm committing to be satisfied with this person, who, of course, is not perfect, and who doesn't have all ideal qualities. And there may be others who have other wonderful qualities, and I'm just committing now to be satisfied with this one relationship. That's very difficult. But that is the purification of the Vedic culture, or of traditional culture, to commit to simply one relationship, to express one's material desires, and then gradually one will, through that relationship, one will be able to express his material desires, but as devotees, of course, always within the boundaries of Krishna consciousness. Always within what is favorable for going back to Godhead. Why do anything in this life that is not favorable for going back to Godhead? We have no problem with marriage or with sense enjoyment. Go ahead. Enjoy the senses. Enjoy them, enjoy them, enjoy them, enjoy them, enjoy as much as you can. But within the boundaries of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not so easy. I mean, once you go that route, trying to enjoy the senses, because the senses, there is so much austerity required to arrange for a little bit of sense enjoyment. So after a little while, one might think, well, it's not worth all the trouble. The enjoyment is not worth the trouble. Then you can become renounced. So, of course, that's another form of discomfort, because in the material world there is no comfortable position. It doesn't exist. But because one becomes renounced and detached, one becomes free for Krishna. Then there's more opportunity to fill one's time, to utilize one's energy for Krishna, to become more absorbed, and that's more satisfying. Therefore, ultimately, the renounced order is the most favorable position. It said here, it says, a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. Well, I would take it, would take that to mean that there is only external cleansing and no internal cleansing. Cleanliness, external, it doesn't really make any sense. That's show. Right? That's nice, it's something, it's better than nothing, but internal cleanliness is real cleanliness. What is the point of being a meat eater but dressed like a gentleman? I was in one airport waiting, and there was a man. He was wearing a black suit, and it was like a really spiffy black suit, and then he looked and he saw a little spot on his suit, so he licked his hand and he started to clean his suit. And then he got into it, you know, like a cat. He started licking his hand and just the whole suit. And it was going on for 15 minutes. I had to really hold back. I was feeling like telling him, what are you doing? You're smearing saliva all over your clothes. But I didn't do it. Definitely some connection with a cat. Black suit and like that. So ignorance, it's simply ignorance. The difficulty about Kali Yuga and all these situations that are sketched here is that they leave everyone insecure. If you don't have money, you will not be respected. Well, the majority of people don't have money. They just have enough to get by, so they won't be respected, they feel insecure and not happy. So they're good candidates for Krishna consciousness. See? They're waiting for us because they're suffering. So really, there is an opportunity there. Hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Yes, it's all. Kavi Karnapur in Chaitanya Chandradaya Natak also gives a whole description on Kali Yuga, and he says everything is external. In the age of Kali, it doesn't mean that one has to actually realize a quality. Rather, one has to just display it. Then that's enough. Right? So therefore, you know, you don't have to actually have it. He just says, love, if it's all external, good enough. Everything can be just external. Then it's enough in the age of Kali. So this is this becomes an addiction. And basically, it means that one becomes a pretender. It means that people are always living in pretense, and that catches them in a network of lies, and it means that they regularly lie, then they'll become compulsive liars. Then they'll even lie when they don't have to lie, addicted to lying, so much so that they fabricate so many stories, and then if the compulsive lying carries on, then it can turn into well, where the liar himself starts to believe his own lies. Then he becomes a pathetic case, ready for a pathological case, ready for some pills on the funny farm and other varieties thereof. So this is a problem. These kind of contaminations are also within us. In looking at verses like this, we can do different things. We can make it an us and them. We are devotees, so this is not about us. This is about the people in the world, and this has nothing to do with us. Right? We're just looking at how fallen people are. Oh, ho, ho, ho. They are so fallen.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
But we can understand that although we may not be committed to these qualities, they're still influencing us in so many ways. And this, the hypocrisy or pretending is a big, big problem. Kutinati. It is one of the anarthas that is a stumbling block on the path, is kutinati, is pretending or cheating. And it says that this kutinati is rooted in a fruitive mentality. It says kutinati is pretending, cheating, and there's also a business mentality included, or a mentality that we're always looking for advantage and profit and calculating. How do I get the best? That feeds pretense. If I present myself in this way, I'll probably get better results. In the Upanishads, there is the example, I mentioned it a few days ago somewhere, there is the Jabala Upanishad. It is about Satyakama Jabala. And Satyakama Jabala became very famous, and that Upanishad is dedicated to him. So the story is told at great length, how Satyakama approached Gautama Muni and asked to be his disciple. So Gautama Muni asked him, what is your gotra, what is your family lineage? And he said, he was quiet, then he said, I don't know. Gautama said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know who my father is. And then Gautama Muni accepted him, because he said, you must be a Brahmin, because no one would have been truthful about such a background. Right? Everyone would have hidden it. But you were so truthful that yes, you must be a Brahmin by qualification. Yeah. So this is is something for us to cultivate. So it will be an ongoing battle in spiritual life to rise above these symptoms of the age of Kali. So in a way, in this chapter, one way we can take it is we can look at our own weaknesses here. Not that necessarily we are fully controlled by these qualities, but that the tendencies are within us. And we have to check these tendencies. That's another way to look at the chapter. Anyway, we're in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's coming close to an end, right? And we're coming very close to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is what brings us hope. And, otherwise, this chapter is basically describing weakness in many people, corruption. And this corruption is very, very strong. I was reading some things about moral corruption, and two examples were given. One example was there was an article about Muslim terrorism and how it came about. And it explained how in Egypt there were some persons who saw that the government had become corrupt, because they could see they sold out to America, and they had given up the true spirit of Islam, right? Therefore, they were against the government and they were for the people. But then they looked and then they saw that the people themselves had become corrupted. The people also had become corrupted. So then they decided the only means that could make people turn back on the right path was fear. And they start to employ terrorism. There was also the story of Luther. And it's interesting, because Luther, it is described, he was a Catholic monk. And the Catholic Church is putting a lot of emphasis on sinless behavior. If one commits sins, one has to confess them. And then one has to accept some process for rectification. So there is a system for catching sin. That's the idea. So there's a check and balance. All the time you're accountable. And basically, so this whole idea of confessing sins, it makes accountability. So you did it again. You know what I mean? Yeah, I did all these things. What did you do? So the Catholic Church put a lot of emphasis on overcoming sinfulness. But Luther could see that it doesn't work. He said there is corruption in the church on the highest levels and on all levels. He said even the cardinals, the bishops, everywhere there is corruption. And monks and nuns, corruption all over the place. It is just no longer possible. So first he took on a mission to purify the church, and then we have had the Reformation and so on. And then, but in due course of time, Luther himself had a fall down, and he just fell in love with this nun, and then married her. It's the whole thing, I mean, it's super interesting. A full fall down from, like, being a monk, running off with a nun, It's kind of a detail, shouldn't be missed, right? I think. And Luther then, after that, started to develop a different philosophy. Because now it was the leaders are corrupted, the people are corrupted, and even I myself am corrupted. It's too difficult in this age to be pure. Therefore, it's all about the grace of God. The grace of God. And then that's what's being stressed in that particular church. The grace of God. The grace of God. Whereas, so we see very interesting developments there. And therefore we can see where this whole Jesus died for our sins emphasis came from. And nothing else needs to be done. It comes from this grace concept. Anyway, so in Krishna consciousness, we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That mercy of Lord Chaitanya is extraordinary. In his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami is describing the other Kali Yugas. And he's saying that in those Kali Yugas, there is a blackish incarnation of the Lord, and that incarnation of the Lord is also spreading Harinam Sankirtan. Same. But apparently there's a difference in this age, because in it is Namomavananyai Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnai Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurutisha Namaha, that Lord Chaitanya is giving that love of God. So therefore Sriyakantak, no, not that one. Aipanchatatvamili Prithivyasya Purva Prema Bandarira Mudra Ugadiya Panchamiri Lutta Prem Kora Shvadan Yata Yata Piya Trishna Bhadiyadakshan. That when the Panchatattva came into this world, they broke the lock on the storehouse of love of God, the Prema Bandar. They went inside, they drank to their full satisfaction, and then they began to distribute that. But previously, it remained locked. So in other yugas, although the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was there, still it was very difficult to attain Krishna Prem through that chanting. Very difficult. But now, by the added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is very easily attained. And katanchana srite asmin duskaram sukaram bhavet, very quickly results are obtained in this. With the help of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, difficult things become easy. So that's our saving grace. But even that seemed to be so difficult. Even if you see what Lord Chaitanya is giving, even that's not so easy. Chan Hare Krishna, very difficult. And then apparently 64 rounds from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. As a reference, Lord Chaitanya was invited by different brahmanas and he said, I will not accept any offering from anyone who is not a Lakpati. And Lakpati means who had 100,000 rupees in those days. That was an incredible fortune. So nobody could do that. And then he explained what he meant with the Lakpati. That a Lakpati means one who's chanting 64 rounds. So that's where the standard of 64 rounds has its roots. And that, that has Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't exactly demanding it from everyone. But he was saying, if you don't chant 64 rounds, you're fallen. You're fallen. So, yeah. In the Gaudiya Mat, they were recommended to chant at least a minimum of four. We still see some Some have come out of the Gaudiya Math and started initiating people at four rounds. And it caused a riot in the West. And how can they initiate at four rounds? Are you getting it cheaper, the same goods cheaper next door? Say, hey, wait a minute. I'm not going to pay four times as much. Right? I'm buying it for four rounds. It's not necessarily that we're buying the same product. Four rounds was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's minimum, and that's at four rounds, what are you purchasing? At least the connection with the Sampradaya and gradual purification. But when Srila Prabhupada brought down the 64 rounds that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired, then he lowered the threshold of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We are getting the same mercy that was available for 64 at 16 by Prabhupada's arrangement, Prabhupada's prayer. And basically, Prabhupada pointed it out. Four regulative principles, 16 rounds, and back to Godhead this lifetime, several times. He doesn't speak that you have to first get Krishna praying. No. So, but how can you go back to Godhead when you're not pure? In the spiritual world, everyone's pure. Well, it means that on the way, somewhere, the arrangement will have to be made. And if we don't get love of God in this life, then maybe we'll get it at the door. Right? But somehow or other, we'll get it. And that's hope. Right? So, in the midst of all the Kali Yuga doomsday meditation, I want to bring in the element of hope, of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And yet, I don't want to confuse it with the concept of it's all by God's grace that we're delivered and that there's no element of our own personal endeavor. No, the personal endeavor must be there. God's grace is there, but not exclusively God's grace. We have to work. We have to work as hard as we can. Do the best we can. So, this chapter, it is really describing our disease. And of course, if we are afflicted by it, what can we do? What can we do? If we have some of the bad qualities that we are going to read day after day, what can we do? We can work on it, but they don't just go away automatically. We'll try and develop better personal qualities. But whatever we are, however fallen we are, if any of these qualities apply to us, it means we are fallen. But at least do devotional service. That's the key. Never stop doing devotional service. As much as possible, engage in devotional service, because then that service will purify us. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yogama doksa jay. That by the process of bhakti, all the anartas will be removed from the heart. There are two ways to rectify fallen qualities in our nature. One is by making a conscious endeavor and trying to rectify ourselves. And the other one is simply by engaging in devotional service. And devotional service will purify us. And of the two, engaging in devotional service is the most potent. That's the most powerful way of transformation, of rising above fallen qualities. So that is our hope. Let us just do a lot of devotional service. Because improving our character, I don't know if it will work. I'm trying. Trying is not good enough. today trying, tomorrow crying. No, we have to actually do it. But because it's so difficult, because we are so weak, we are not really committed to making the change. Yes, 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 I want to change. Yes, 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 I want to change means no, I don't want to change. I want to stay as I am, and I'm just saying yes, yes, I want to change to get you to stop telling me that I have to change. Because I don't want to change. Therefore I say yes, yes, I want to change. So because I don't want to change, please stop telling me to change. Yes, yes, I want to change. Just to get rid of the people who tell us we have to change. Change! Change now. Change means now. Change. Yes, I will change. I will change. No, no, no. I will change. I promise you I will change tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Change is now. Okay, after the class. No, now. In the middle of the class. Right now. Change means now. If we really make change, it's now. Not postponing, not 1 second postponing. It must be just completely now. That's the only way to make change. As soon as you put change off and say, I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, I'm not ready yet, but tomorrow I'll be ready. Then tomorrow still not be ready. There will be another. It becomes mañana, like in Mexico, you know. Mañana, mañana. Or in India, kal, kal. When will it be ready? Kal, tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow it will be ready. You come tomorrow. It's not ready. No, 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 it will be ready tomorrow. Kal, kal. I told you tomorrow. It will always be tomorrow. It will never be ready, isn't it? So in the same way, yes, yes, I will change. Change is now. And we must discipline ourselves. But difficult, difficult, difficult. So let us take shelter of devotional service. That is our hope. And we see that those devotees that get serious about taking on some service in Prabhupada's movement, they become transformed over time. You know, they are the ones that over time somehow or other begin to change. And the devotees that sort of half-hearted, half-baked potato type of half-baked service, they never quite make it. Yeah? They are the flaky ones. Yeah. One of our leaders once mentioned that in our movement, 90% of the people do 10% of the work, and 10% of the people do 90% of the work. So we can decide who we want to be with, which group. Obviously, if we really apply ourselves, we'll get the mercy of Krishna. So it's not cheap. Cheap it's not. But it's not easy. Sometimes you think Prabhupada was coming to the West and with the intention of creating a worldwide movement, and what's he preaching? Four regulated principles. So if I would be a journalist, 1 second, then I would drink some water. If I would be a journalist, then I would ask him the question. He says, sir, do you really think that these principles of no meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, is a program for the whole world? Or do you think that rather it's a program for a minority group? I would ask that as a journalist. That would be a good question for a journalist. I think I would be a sincere journalist. Of course, I didn't have the chance to ask Prabhupada, so instead of Prabhupada answering the question, I will answer the question, which is of course not the same, but anyway, what can we do? I will answer it now. And my answer would be, is it like, well, you know, whether it is something that people of the whole world can follow or not, that is a secondary issue. Yeah. The primary issue is that it's an opportunity for the people of the entire world to follow these principles. And that gives them a window into the spiritual world. That is the opportunity they're getting. And if they want to take it, take it. And if they don't want to take it, what can be done? We will cry for you, but there is nothing we can do. Could not be saved. Blub, 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 went under into the ocean of material suffering. Yeah, I mean, that's basically it, right? So we can try, but we have to try to bring the world to these four regulative principles. That's, of course, we can help things by making certain external changes, because, the world is just making too much out of sex. Obviously, sex has a prominent place on the physical platform, but the world makes it out to be the most important thing, the biggest thing. That's everywhere, in your face, all the time. Like when I was a brahmachari a long, long time ago, then we were all Sankirtan devotees. So my service was, before we would go out in Sankirtan, we would go out from the temple and to quickly bring the laundry around the corner to the laundromat. So I was looking like these donkeys in India, you know, just some legs with a huge pile of laundry on top. And I would walk around the corner to the laundromat and drop it off, and then had to pick it up at night. Then as I come out of that laundromat, there was a place called the Dutch Society for Sexual Reform, and they were showing you every possible poster about all the different varieties that exist, and a telephone number if you felt interested. Whereas, you know, as a brahmachari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram, Ram, Ram. So it's in your face, right? We're living in a world where it's in our face all the time. Lust, lust, lust. It's a lust inciting culture. So if we can spread a culture where that is more moderated, that will help. So part of our mission is to make people aware that some of certain values, because people just don't know. And what's wrong with it? Like, you know, what's wrong with sex? What's wrong with it? It's just an expression of affection. If I have some affection for someone, then what's the difficulty? But we have to explain, we have to understand the entanglement, how sexual activity creates a knot in the heart. Hridaya grantin, it creates a knot in the heart that binds us and binds us and binds us deeper and deeper. And then it's very difficult to get out of that. Therefore, sexual activity must be engaged in a regulated way within marriage. Like that. Then we can. So we cannot just tell people, you must follow the four regulative principles, otherwise you are sinful. That way people won't buy it. I would not have bought it that way. Because when I first saw the Hare Krishnas come into my town, there was this grey van pulled in, a back door flapped open, and all these little pink men came out. Too many. That was the thing. More than logically could fit in one van, so I didn't trust it. And then they made a line in the street that came in my direction. I went into a shop. I looked from behind the glass. Someone said, it's a dangerous sect. thought, oh my God, it looked dangerous. 3 months later, I saw them on TV, and one of them was there and explained what it was all about. No meat, fish, or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. Then I knew they were dangerous. Confirmed. Confirmed, you see. So like this, people have to understand the benefits of the four regulative principles. First of all, maybe we have to understand them. Do we even understand them? Or is it for us also just punishment? Four regulative principles. Prabhupada asks us to follow these four regulative principles. How am I going to promise to follow four regulated principles? Why did I do that? Why actually did I want to be initiated? Did it come from me, or was it really under social pressure? I think it didn't really come from my heart. Therefore, I cannot identify with my vows anymore. And all kinds of philosophies have developed to free ourselves from these restrictions. We must know what are the benefits. Okay, I'm not going to get into a whole lecture about the benefits now. I'll save that for days to come. So stop now. Questions or comments?
Spiritual fall down. How do they develop? Like one by one, really, like very sharply cut, or might go through.
How do we gradually become more and more degraded? Yes. There is actually a personality called Kali. It's described in the Mahabharata that Kali is one of the celestials, and that he resides normally in the celestial regions, but that he has no license to influence anyone except in this yuga. So Kali is waiting for his time to come, and then in this age Kali actually has a direct influence on people. It is said that Yudhisthira Maharaj was waiting for Arjuna, who had gone to Dwarka to meet Krishna. And in his absence, Yudhisthira saw all these strange symptoms. Husband and wife fighting, sons being disrespectful to their fathers, and all these kind of things, which were very unusual. And somehow or other, Yudhisthira had some feeling that Kali Yuga had begun. But how could Kali Yuga begin when Krishna was still on the planet? And then his mind stopped thinking. He couldn't think of that possibility. But when Arjuna came, it turned out that exactly that is what happened. Krishna had left the planet, and with it, Kali Yuga had begun. And it was noticeable. People had changed. So in this age, there is a particular force upon us. And we need to take shelter to become freed from this influence of Kali. Otherwise, it's very interesting, in the Mahabharata there's a story of King Nala, who became influenced and possessed by Kali. There was a special license that Kali got to just possess this one person, and he did. And when Nala was possessed, he started to act under the dictates of Kali, but he was thinking that he did it all on his own accord. So Nala was thinking, I'm doing what I want, but he was acting as a puppet of Kali. That was really interesting. Very interesting story. Nala and Damayanti in the Mahabharata, you can read. So there's the influence of Kali, and therefore in this age, the opportunity is getting stronger and stronger. Kali's influence is setting in, and the opportunity to become degraded is just all the time in front of you. Like me and my telephone numbers in Amsterdam, and so many other things that you have everywhere. Come on, don't be square. You know, come on, you're young, you know, don't waste your time. Come on, enjoy before it's too late. So many arguments. The drop wears away the stone of our determination. So only if we are very strong in our spiritual sadhana can we have the strength. Otherwise this age is just like on all sides destroying our spiritual strength. Chanda.
Okay. Does that mean, what does it mean? That Kali continuously gets worse and worse, that there's like an opportunity? Or because of the influence of and the mercy of Mahaprabhu, it isn't as bad as it could be, and in fact it might even get a little bit better?
Well,
okay.
The Brahmavarta Purana lists a number of verses. And it is said that in this golden age, 10,000 year golden age, there will be one group of people, Ekavarna Haribhakta. So that's very interesting, Ekavarna Haribhakta. So no more Varna Ashram, Ekavarna, only one Varna, Haribhakta. So that's something. So looking at it from that perspective, you can see it will all be transcendental. And Prabhupada, of course, mentions in various purports, in ninth canto, he mentions it will be like Treta Yuga, other times he said it will be like Satya Yuga. The conditions of Treta or Satya Yuga will return. It says in the heavenly planets, it's always like Treta Yuga. So it gives an idea, so it's going to be pretty good. Pretty good. So I think thinking of that Ekavarna Haribhakta, I think it will go beyond religion. It will go beyond having a temple on every street corner. It will go beyond, and Krishna consciousness then broke through and became the world religion, and all over the world people started to wear tilak. I'm now your history teachers. Okay, pay attention, children, because I will teach you some history of how Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Okay? Don't sleep. Yes? And so you see, at first, you know, the devotees were chanting, and then more and more temples began to come, and then there were temples all over the cities, everywhere and in the countryside, and people started with tilak, and at one point the government took it up, and then it took off in a big way, and Krishna consciousness spread everywhere, and it became compulsory to wear tilak. If you didn't wear tilak, you could be fined, severe fines for not wearing tilak. Anyway, so like this, one can see it might spread. But that would all be in the realm of religion and prescribed duty. It will go beyond that. It will go to the spontaneous platform. It will go to the ecstatic platform. I'm sure that within the peak of those 10,000 years, people will just come out of their houses, bring kartals, mardangas, kirtan will start. Others spontaneously bring out the prasadam. It just will become like once. Everyone just spontaneously becomes absorbed in glorifying the Lord. The earth starts producing things like anything. They just start, grains start growing on their own. No more need for tilling the fields. It has been like that in Satya Yuga. It's described how grains just grow on their own. jewels will be there everywhere, just can be found. Gold will be visible again on the surface. The rivers will be pure and full of life, giving minerals and everything. Yeah? As Maharaj Yudhisthira, you know, the time, all those descriptions in the Bhagavatam, all that will start happening. It will be good. But if we'll live to see it, I don't know. Yeah.
Maharaj, talking about the different universe, and the picture that you were just portraying, you know, that it may happen, it will happen whenever, you know, the equivalent of this thing. For that, you know, like for the world, for the mankind to come to a common platform, generally it is seen that unless there is a calamity or something, unless there is a fear, you know, the hope of mankind or you know, talking of multiple people to be thinking alike, fear is one factor which brings them to one common
motive. Yeah.
What could be the other thing, you know, which will bring, which will, or what was that thing?
Love. The other side of the coin. Take the coin, fear and hate, turn it over, and what do you find? And that's, you know, love and higher taste. Taste, you know. Because the one thing is, we can, if we really are attracted to something, oh, no austerity is too great. I mean, you know, simple example, if I say $1 million, you have to climb 10 mountains, okay, 10 mountains, right? You'll do it. Although usually say 10 mountains, I can't climb 10 mountains. I'm middle-aged, it's too much. But if I say, but if you climb 10 mountains within 1 month, I'll give you $1 million, you'll do it. Yeah? So in this way, we can, when we have a strong taste, we can do amazing things. So it will start operating on taste, on love. On loving it. It's just so wonderful. And it is like that. Why are we here? Because we have to? Because we are frightened with Kali Yuga? Anyway, a little bit. But we're here also because we're having a good time here. Supposedly. That's important, that we're having a good time in the temple. If we don't have a good time in the temple, then our Krishna consciousness all becomes based on rules, regulations, and Kali Yuga symptoms, very bad, and morality. No, we have to have fun. Like that. Okay, I stop. Tired. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.